I am talking about a sermon series that is called God of Possibilities. Because very often, if you have lived long enough, and I don't believe it takes many years, but if you have lived long enough, you know that sometimes life throws things at you that you don't understand. Things happen that are not fair. Things happen that you never planned for. Things might happen that you don't anticipate it, that you would not like to see, but they are still happening in our life. Only because we are Christian doesn't mean that we are spared from any difficulties in life. So, but the thing is, we have to understand that even in those in seemingly impossible situations, God is the God of possibilities. That what seems to be impossible with God can become an opportunity. That we don't have to give up hope, but that we can say, God, I know that you are in control. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, he is in control. Yes, he is in control. God still sits on the throne. He is good. He has a good plan for you. He has a hope and a future for each and every one of our lives. Amen. So if you're here this morning and you are going through a difficult situation, I want you to know that God is in control. That he is the God of possibilities. That our impossibilities become his opportunities. Amen. Today we're going to talk about that miracles are possible. Miracles are possible. Now, if you go into the definition, what miracle really means, it means an extraordinary event that is unexplainable by natural or scientific laws and is therefore attributed to the divine. Basically, simply put, there is a situation that seems to be impossible, but something happens. Because we cannot explain it, we say God did a miracle. That's what a miracle is, where God steps in and does the impossible. Where God steps in and we don't know what's happening, we don't know what is happening, but God says, no, I can turn this situation around. Now, I believe I have told this story before, but when I was 6 years old, my brother was 8 years old. I come from a family of three boys. We are all 1 year apart. So my eldest brother all of a sudden started to have a stomach ache. And it was a bad stomach ache, but at first we didn't think anything of it. And by us, I mean my parents didn't think anything of it. So, but after the stomach ache did not go away for a couple of days, they realized there's something wrong. In fact, the pain became worse. So they went to the doctors and the doctor said, you have to go to the hospital. They went to the hospital, did a scan and found out that he had stomach cancer. And because he was so young and it was so advanced, they said, we have to do an emergency operation. So right there on the spot, my parents had to give them permission to perform the emergency operation. So they did. But when he came out, they told my parents that the operation was a lot more complicated than what they anticipated. So they had to transfer him to a special hospital where they were more equipped to handle those very difficult cases. So the operation was scheduled for 3 days later. So my parents called my pastor and said, you know what, we really need a miracle. Pray for my son because he has stomach cancer. So the pastor called the church and made it the last time we had something called a phone chain. They would call people up. That time, no WhatsApp, no handphones, right? That shows you how old I am also. But I can see it on your face. You're also like, oh yeah, I understand what it is. A telephone chain, yes. Where everybody calls someone else. And then that is how the word spread, right? So they distributed the word. We're going to have prayer meetings in church every night until the operation. So now I was not aware of all that because I was only 6 years old. I still remember sitting on my brother's bed in hospital playing cards. I had no idea what was going on. I didn't know what was happening. I was just happily playing with him cards in the hospital. But then the thing is, it came closer and closer to the operation. They put him in, they cut him open again, and the doctors could not explain it, but there was no trace of cancer anymore. No trace. Everything completely gone. Not only that the cancer was gone, they said there was no scar tissue at all. So it was like there was never even an operation before that. Even the doctors had to say they don't know what happened. Now, of course, they didn't want to say it was a miracle, but I know it was a miracle that God intervened, that God stepped down and said, you know what, I'm going to show my power and authority. And he produced a miracle. Amen. And I want you to know that God is still in the business of producing miracles in our life. Amen. That God is still the God of possibilities, that God can turn around what seems to be impossible and produce a miracle in our life. Amen. And I believe there's people here who really need a miracle. Maybe in your physical bodies, maybe emotionally, maybe spiritually, or maybe something is going on that you don't understand, but you're crying out for God. I want you to know that God can touch your life, that He wants to reach out to you and touch you in a powerful, powerful way. This morning, we're going to look into a text from Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And that is the story of blind Bartimaeus. He was a beggar. He was blind, was sitting at a roadside. Then he heard that Jesus came in town. So he started to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. The people around him said, hey, keep quiet. Jesus has other things to do. He has more important things to do. You just keep quiet. And then he cried out even louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, hey, I heard my name. Who is that? Okay, bring him here. So they brought Bartimaeus. In fact, the Bible says Bartimaeus threw away his coat and he ran to Jesus, blind as he was. And then Jesus said, okay, what do you want? Then Bartimaeus said, Rabbi, I want to see. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. And he followed Jesus along the road. That is the story. Amen. Now, I believe there are some things that we can really learn if we are looking for a miracle in our life. And the first thing is, we have to start praying. Come on. We have to start praying. Mark 10 verse 47 says, when he heard that this was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. See, when he heard that Jesus came along, he started to shout to get God's attention, to get Jesus' attention. And I want you to know the way that we approach God is by praying. Come on, God is a speaking God. How did God create the heavens and the earth? He spoke the world into existence. He spoke and there was light. God is a speaking God. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about all the miracles that Jesus did. And I thought, you know what? All the miracles that Jesus did were accompanied by him speaking. Now I want to see your faces. Because if you're like me, you would think, but wait a minute. There is the woman with the issue of blood, right? She came from behind Jesus. She was telling herself, if I only touch Jesus' garment, then I will be made well. So she came from behind, touched Jesus' garment. She felt that power went into her and that she was well. But what happened next? Jesus stopped, said, hey, who touched me? Peter, funny guy, said, what do you mean, Jesus? Everyone touched you. There is a crowd around you, crowding you, pushing you. Everybody touched you. But Jesus said, no, somebody touched me. The woman comes false to her feet on her knees before Jesus. Jesus talks to her and then says, go, you are well. Even then, Jesus spoke. Every miracle that Jesus did was accompanied by him speaking. Not every miracle was accompanied by him touching people. Some people came and said, you know what? My daughter at home is sick. Or my servant at home is sick. Like the Roman centurion. Jesus just spoke one word and he was healed. Not every miracle was accompanied by touch, but every miracle was accompanied by Jesus speaking. That goes to show us that God is a speaking God. Jesus is a speaking God. And we have to approach him in the same way. So when we come to God, he wants us to speak to him. And that in the very definition is praying to God. Because praying to God is speaking to him. So since God is a speaking God, we have to approach him in the same way. We come to him by speaking to him. And that is praying. Amen. So we have to start to pray. And I really believe that God will start to move in our life. We have to start to pray. Maybe you already pray. Good. Maybe we have to pray a little bit more fervent. We have to pray a little bit more. We have to keep on pushing in until we see a result. Amen. I remember growing up, my grandma took care of me. When it was time to go to kindergarten, I did not want to go. I refused to go to kindergarten. So my mom would drop me off at my grandma's every morning. Now, very conveniently, my grandma lives right next door from my parents. So she would drop me off, then she would go to work, and I would spend my mornings with my grandma, my Oma. So every day was the same routine. She would make me hot cocoa, what you would call probably hot Milo, similar at least. Not the same thing, very important. One is chocolate, the other one is more malt, right? But anyway, so it was hot cocoa. She would set me down at a kitchen table, and then she would pick out her big magnifying glass because she was almost blind. So she would take out her big magnifying glass, she would open the newspaper, and she would start reading the newspaper to me. I was sitting across at the table just sipping my hot cocoa. She would read the newspaper to me. After that, she would take me, go to the living room, and put me in a big rocking chair. And that was the best rocking chair I ever seen in my life. It was awesome. Then she would go to the cupboard, take some sweets, give me the sweets in the rocking chair. She would go over to her big chair, sit down, and start praying for the family. One by one, by name, every day. And I really believe that that had a powerful, powerful impact on the family. I saw her pray. She was a prayer warrior. After that, she would start praying for Germany, for the area that I come from, that God would move, that people would get saved, that people would realize that they need Jesus. And she would pray and pray. And I was just sitting there in my rocking chair, enjoying my sweets. But you know what? When I was 15, she passed away. And even though I did go to school, I didn't skip school. I only skipped kindergarten. I went to school. I stayed in touch with my grandma because she was living right next door. So at least 3 or 4 times a week, I would go down, just sit in that rocking chair, that awesome rocking chair, and just be with my grandma. So we were very close. So she passed on. And then all of a sudden, I decided, you know what? I've seen my grandma pray. And I believe that it is so important. So I committed myself to pray for Germany and that area every day from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. for 3 years, and I did it. I can count on my hands, 2 hands, how often I missed it. But it showed me how important prayer really is. Now when I go back to Germany, there is a church from Winston. Some of you have met him at my wedding, but that is also now 70 years ago, so maybe you don't remember him. But he has a church, and the church is doing extremely well. Young people are coming in, getting saved, awesome atmosphere, great work that he's doing. And I take some credit in that as well. Because I thought, you know what? I prayed for that. Now, of course, I cannot take too much credit because my grandma was praying for 40 over years. But still, prayer is powerful. Amen? I want you to know that prayer is powerful. And maybe it will take a little bit of time before we see the answer to our prayer. But prayer opens the doors of heaven. Prayer makes us communicate with God, and it makes us an open pathway where God can really speak to us and can do something miraculous in our life. But everything that we do and experience, and I know this is a big statement, but I want you to listen to it. Everything that we will experience spiritually is linked to our prayer life. Everything. Because that is just the way God works. God is a speaking God, And he wants to be approached that way. So when we come to God in prayer, God listens. If we come to God in prayer, he will do something. Sometimes it takes a little bit longer, but God is doing something. So prayer is powerful. Prayer can accomplish much, and prayer can produce miracles. The second thing that we can learn from the story is that we have to act. Mark 10 verse 48 and 49 says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus stopped and said, call him. See, here's the thing. The people around him asked him to be quiet. Hey, quiet. Jesus has other things to do. Jesus has more important things to do. You just keep quiet. You're just a beggar sitting at the side of the road. You're just a blind man. But he cried out even louder. See, he refused to give up, but he decided to act and to cry out even more. Now, just full disclosure, we are not starting to act and we are not trying to buy goodwill for God for doing good things, like reading the Bible, going to church, doing all these good things. We are not trying to buy ourselves credit before God so that when time gets tough, then we have some credit that we can now access. Or because I have been a faithful Christian, always going to church, even go to Bible study, even go to cell group, so I have a lot of credit with God. So when life gets tough, now I can call on that credit. That's not how it works. But what God wants to see is that we are stepping out in faith, that we are tenacious, that we are not giving up, that even though we might go through a difficult situation in our life, that like Bartimaeus, we say, no, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to press in even more. I'm going to show that my passion is behind this, that I have a desire for God to show up in my life. And then you do something, you get pushing you. You start to say, God, what can I do to bring a situation to change? What can I do in my life that I will see you come and really do something in my life? Because God wants us to see that we start to do something. Again, not because we are trying to buy goodwill, but because he wants to see our faith. Amen? So we have to become active more and more. I also remember before I went to America to Bible school, I went to Africa for a mission trip, right, with the humanitarian aid organization. So now one of the big projects that we had was building an orphanage for the war orphans who have lost their parents to the war, the Civil War. So we rented a big piece of property where they, at that moment, they had a feeding hall and they had some other abandoned buildings. And so I went in there, we made measurements, made plans and all that, that we needed to apply for permits to do renovations, to put it into a proper orphanage. Now, within a few weeks, we all got it done, and we had to, because the money that was allocated by the humanitarian aid organization had to be spent before the year was up. I went in September, October, November, December. So we had to make sure that the renovations will be completed or at least start so that they won't withdraw the funding that they promised us to give. So we had to get things going fast. Problem was, we never got to really buy over the land from the person, from the government who had that piece of land. But we decided, or the boss actually decided, we have to go ahead anyway, otherwise we lose the money and we cannot build an orphanage. So we went ahead, we got it done. Long story short, a few years later, I was long gone by then, but I heard that the government came in and they took back the orphanage because we made it really nice. There was a school in place now, there was a big feeding hall, there were quarters for the orphans to stay and sleep, and we even built a school. So it was a very nice, good project. So they went in, they took it back. And I was so upset. I called up the boss that I worked with at that time. I said, how can the government do that? It is such a waste that we put in all that time, money, and effort, and now they're just taking it and they're making as if they did all the work. But then he said, no, Stefan, you have to understand that now the orphans are blessed because of what we did. If we would have not acted, the blessing would have been lost. The opportunity to bless those children would have been blessed. Now the children have a place that they can call home. Now the children have a place where they don't have to go into prostitution anymore, where they can receive education, where they can make something out of their life. And that is only because we stepped in and did what needed to be done, even though it meant that they can come and take it away from us. And when he said that, that really broke me. I said, my goodness, that was very selfish the way that I was thinking. We did something because it needed to be done. Very often we in our lives, we have to step out and start something with faith. Even though we don't really know what's going to happen next, God will not always show us exactly what needs to be done. And then according to, what is that, Frozen 2, you have to do the next right thing. Right? Maybe you don't understand exactly what's going to happen, but all you have to do is the next right thing. So maybe it is time for us to actually start doing. Amen. We have started a campaign in the church here called Love Your Neighbor, right? Where we make it a point to invite people to come to church. And it's so good to see some newcomers here this morning. But you know what? We have to take that seriously. That we say, you know what? We are praying. Good, you're praying. But we have to act also. We have to put actions to our words. We have to put actions to our prayers so that we can see the miraculous happen. Amen. So don't only pray. Now that is the first step. Pray, yes, but then start to put actions to your words so that God can really start doing something powerful in your life. The third thing that we can see is that we have to believe. Mark 10 verse 51 says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. Then the blind man replied, "Rabbi, I want to see." See, when Jesus asked Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do?" he was not afraid to ask for the impossible. Come on. He could have easily said, "Jesus, you have connections. You know the leaders, the religious leaders. You know a lot of people. Why don't you set me up for life so that I will not have to worry about money anymore? How about you introduce me to some important people? What about you introduce me to people who can actually help me?" No. He asked, "Rabbi, I want to see." Something that seems to be impossible. But he had faith that God or Jesus could do something. And we have to step up and say, "You know what, God? I will be not afraid to ask for the impossible." But maybe you are like me now and you say, "Oh my goodness, how can I have more faith in my life? How can I produce more faith?" The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we have to put ourselves in a position where we can hear from God. Because when we hear from God, that is how our faith will grow. So we have to give him time where we spend time with him, reading the Bible, praying, going to church, all these things. We create opportunities for God to spend time with us and speak to us. And in that, our faith will grow. Now, I told a few of you guys already what happened to my car, right? The engine broke down. We had to send it in. Long story short, I don't have time to tell the whole story. But the whole story is God really provided miraculously. I'm telling you, God protected us from selling the car at a very, very cheap price because someone tried to cheat us. Long story short, God protected us that it was not sold for a cheap price, but that we were able to give it in as a down payment for a new car for a very, very good price. But now here, when all these things were happening, it was very frustrating because the car was gone. They said they will only give us a very small amount. And then we are a big family, 5 kids. How are we going to get them to school and back and all these things? So Pastor Leifan so graciously gave us the car to use in the meantime now. But still, it is so frustrating and it's so uncertain. How can everything fall in place? That night when we went home and we had devotion with the kids, like we do every night, we were reading about how God is our provider. And then we talked to the kids and said, "You know what? We lost the car, right? We have to get a new car. Don't know how we're going to afford." Especially that time, we thought we'd get very little. But then we talked about how now the devotion talks about that God is our provider. 2 days later, The devotion was about trusting God and don't allow fear to creep in. And then we said, hey, this is exactly what we're dealing with, right? Because we are still trying to figure things out. Then Tiana, my daughter, she said, Papa, that is so cool. God is speaking to us through the devotion. And that is such an important lesson, that God can speak to us. And once God speaks to us, our faith can be raised in our hearts. Amen. But we have to give God an opportunity to speak to us, where we allow Him by reading the Bible, by praying, by spending time with Him, by worshiping, that God can actually show up in our life and produce something in our hearts. Amen. And that is our responsibility, that we have to set that time aside to let God work in us. But I know that God is just waiting for us. He wants to speak. He wants to come in. And He wants to do something powerful in your life. Amen. Can the praise team come this morning? I really want to have an altar call this morning for those of you who might be here and you say, you know what? I have something going on in my life. I want prayer. We want to take some time to just pray for you. Don't worry. I'm going to wear my face mask. You are wearing your face mask. So we are all sanitary. We are following the SOP. But I really believe that God wants to do something miraculous in your life. Amen?